Ernest, what's up? Look, I want to put you onto something that's been making waves in the personal finance world. If you've been relying on Mint to manage your finances, I got some news that might startle you at first. Mint is no more. But hold on, because every cloud has its silver lining, and in this case, that lining is Monarch Money. For those of us searching for a robust, user-friendly alternative, Monarch Money is stepping up to the plate. And from personal experience, it's hitting a home run. Let's get personal for a moment. Managing finances can be a maze of confusion, stress, and time consumption. Believe me, I've been there, jumping from one finance app to another, hoping to find that one platform that simplifies everything. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design transformed my approach to managing finances. What truly sets Monarch apart for me, though, is its collaboration feature. With money being a top Discord trigger for many couples, the ability to seamlessly manage finances with my wife has been a game changer. No extra costs, just shared goals and clarity. But Monarch isn't just about managing your current finances, it's about building your future. Saving for that dream house, your wedding, or a once-in-a-lifetime vacation becomes not just a possibility, but a reality with Monarch's intuitive tools. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal held it as the best app for savings growth. Monarch Money represents the next evolution in personal finance apps. It's an ad-free haven where your experience is the priority, constantly refined based on real user feedback. It's everything we've been asking for: intuitive, powerful, and relentlessly focused on user satisfaction. Now, for a bit more practicality, Monarch makes transitioning from Mint a breeze, ensuring you can bring all your tags and categories with you. Its intuitive design, customization options, and commitment to privacy and an ad-free experience make it stand out in the sea of competitors. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/leisure. That's MONARCHMONEY.com/leisure for your extended 30-day free trial. Ernest, what's up? Y'all know I'm big on doing your research, sharing your research, and giving credit to where you found the research. But I always get asked the same question. Where do I start with the research? And the answer is easy. It's our sponsor, Yahoo Finance. Whether I'm tracking the daily movement of my favorite companies, doing technical analysis with their easy-to-use charting platform, or checking balance sheets, Yahoo Finance makes something very complex simplified. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. Whether you're a seasoned investor or you're looking for extra guidance, Yahoo Finance gives you all the tools and data you need in one place. They're the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. You could actually securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including your 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart great investors. And it's how Yahoo Finance ensures you have the insight to look at your wealth in its entirety. With a community of over 90 million users each month, the real strength is helping you on your way to financial success. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination. That's yahoofinance.com. You heard me, yahoofinance.com. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. I use it. You should go over there and start using it now.
So I put a post up about the largest land owners on earth. So, and I didn't say like number one through four. It's just four of the top. So the royal family of Great Britain, almost 1 billion acres of land worldwide, including Great Britain, Northern Ireland, Canada, Australia, all throughout the Caribbean, variety of different places. The Catholic Church, millions of acres. So the Vatican City is an independent state. But then there's millions of acres of global land. And then there's hundreds of Vatican embassies throughout the world, which are legally titled to the Holy See as an independent nation. This one caught people by surprise. Farmland in China. So the Chinese dairy farm, Madujing City Mega Farm, is owned by Russian and Chinese owners. The company owns more than 22 million acres of farmland in China. And then, of course, the Saudi royal family controls 830,000 square miles of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia and a variety of international holdings. So this post, semi-controversial. I'm not sure why.
Why do you think it's controversial?
People have strong opinions about, you know, how, especially when it comes to the royal family and the Catholic Church, rightfully so. But I didn't give an opinion. It wasn't an opinion-based post. It wasn't saying, like, you should aspire to be these people, or this is what it is. Like, you know what I mean? I'm not saying that they got it the right way, that they deserve it. That's another conversation for another day. Just the fact of these are the people that own the most land in the world. And then there's other people too. McDonald's owns a lot of land. The Mormon Church owns a lot of land.
Gates Foundation.
Yeah. So these aren't just, there's more people, but this is just, you know, a couple. But it's just interesting because a lot of times people don't necessarily think about different entities that, you know, when you just see different things, you see churches, like when Ray Kroc was like, McDonald's is not a burger. It's not a burger company. It's a real estate company. Right. Yep. And it's like, all right, well, now the Catholic Church is a real estate company. Not to say that it's obviously a religious organization, but it owns more real estate than almost anybody in the world, right? This is done intentionally. So it's just the interesting perspective on, you know, just looking at things differently. Because now when you see, you know, the Church of Notre Dame, or you see, you know, the cathedral on Fifth Avenue, it's good architecture. And, you know, you see people going there for Easter. But then it's like, well, how much is this building actually worth?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that article came to be right around the coronation of the King of England. And we saw about the amount of property. I think it was over some billions of dollars in property. And we're like, well, where are the estates? And then you look at what these estates are worth. You talk about Buckingham Palace worth over $4 billion. And you look at all these palaces that are now under his reign. It's like, wait, wow! Like you're not thinking of it. Well, you know, we talk about the British rule and we talk about the land. We talk about the real estate play too. It's like, man, this is done intentionally and this is strategically done for generations. When we talk about generational, this is beyond that.
Yeah. Any thoughts on this, Ian?
Xander says hi. he's like, are you on stage? I'm like, no, but I'm doing a show. But this is why I always say study the top five. Like, you don't have to listen to me. Like, study the top five governments, top five countries, see where they are buying, what they're looking to buy, and what they're shut. Because they have to also deploy capital because they need a return. Of course, the church organization is non-taxable, so there's some benefits there. You also told me, what was it, 2 weeks ago, about the 60 Minutes piece.
Oh yeah,
but there's some
ruins
there during the recession.
Everybody should. If you haven't watched that 60 Minutes piece about the Church of Latter-day Saints, is very interesting. That's the Mormon Church.
Yeah,
and they have, so they're obviously tax exempt organization, like as all religious organizations are.
Mm-hmm.
But they have an investment arm. So this is the thing about just charities in general. A lot of people don't know. You only have, like, most charities are only actually using like 5% of the money that they actually bring in for charitable endeavors.
Yeah.
Like 90%, 95% goes to operational expenses. But they have a huge investment arm over like $100 billion that, you know, from excess of tithes, mm-hmm. like leftover. That they actually are investing. So it was a whistleblower because this guy used to work on Wall Street, and then he started managing the funds for the church. And like I said, it was like $100 million, something like that. The investment fund. So he whistle blew the situation, because he was saying that they were using the money for for-profit organizations. They were using the money for for-profit gains. So they was like buying buildings, they was putting money into companies, different things of that nature. So he was saying like he felt it was just a conflict of interest that they were using donations for church, which, and they don't, you know, it's tax exempt on a nonprofit side. They don't have to really report too much information.
Yeah. So
and then they were buying for-profit entities.
Right. So the numbers were, they received $7 billion in contributions from 17 million members. They have $1 billion, so we said 100 billion, $1 billion in a reserve fund from tithes that go into the nonprofit. The name of the nonprofit was Eson Peak. If you watched the segment, you can follow this along, which allows it to grow tax-free. So that money has grown. That money that was in that fund has grown to $100 billion.
It's $100 billion.
Yeah. $100 billion fund.
$100 billion. What have they done with it? Like Shadi said, they bought them all. They bought them all. They bought them all, and they bought an insurance company. Two things that they put.
The second one's a great investment. The premiums on an insurance company is a great, great investment. But that's why I say study. Like, even that, when you're looking at a stock, please write this down. You want to see what the institutional ownership is. Like, even if you're investing, like, say, real estate in a city, you want to make sure capital from bigger players are going there first. So as a retail investor, that you're safe. It's unfortunate, but they lobby to make these rules so that they can build these kind of funds and then keep the profit for themselves.
Yeah, it's a whole elaborate thing. So like under the SEC rules, right? Any fund that has made over $100 million must report filings, and so they've responded by creating shell companies. So,
game is a game.
The game is the game.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen.
My graduates from my school being Forbes,
bag drop.
A mic drop. Bag drop.
Bag drop.